To mark the year 1953 in our virtual tour, we come to Inistig in South Kilkenny, that picturesque village with its ancient church, so much, of course, viewed by people as a very attractive film set location. I suppose as we think about events since disestablishment, Inistig also reminds us of a peculiar anomaly that connects us locally to the world that precedes disestablishment. Prior to 1871, many of the parishes in the Church of Ireland were in the gift of patrons, often local landowners. The patron, in effect, appointed the rector and nominated him for licensing and institution to the bishop. The Irish Church Act abolished patronage, except in a very small number of anomalous cases, which for reasons too complicated to go in here managed to survive. And one of those anomalies was Inistig, where to this day the appointment of the rector is actually in the hands of the current, as it were, leading member of the Tighe family through the generations associated with Woodstock. In practice, Inistig is now grouped with Kells Union, and when vacancies arise, the Tighe family customarily amiably agree to appoint as rector of Inistig or priest in charge the person who's already been appointed to Kells Union. But in theory, if they decided to take it into their heads to do so and to raise an appropriate stipend, which would be challenging, the Tighe family could still appoint a separate rector of Inistig Parish. It's all an anomaly. These anomalies are part of the curiosity of history. It's unlikely to make much practical difference nowadays, but it does connect us to the old disestablishment world. Back to 1953. That year, in June in London, the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II took place. A spectacular event, not least liturgically. Of course, there hasn't been one since. One wishes the present Queen of the United Kingdom a long life, especially after her valued visit to Ireland some years ago. But the liturgy of the next one, whenever it happens, I gather is constantly being reviewed and considered, and it'll be fascinating what one day emerges. Will they talk about defender of faith as opposed to defender of the faith? And how will the Eucharist be done, which is traditionally part of the coronation? And in the past, in recent centuries, the new sovereign in effect received alone according to the old rite of the Book of Common Prayer. And what will the attitude in Ireland be? In 1953, people gathered furtively around televisions in the few houses that had them, and there was no RTE yet. They watched flickering black and white BBC on the day of the coronation. Only the previous month, the Irish papers had begun to publish the BBC schedules. More publicly, the reaction of the time in Ireland was predictable. For example, the picketing of the British Embassy as a protest against partition that day, the absence of Irish government representatives from the ambassadorial garden party at the British ambassador's residence in Dublin to mark the coronation, and a bomb inside Newry Cinema where the coronation was being shown. In those days, of course, much more mystique surrounded the royals. That was all before the days of the current type of tabloids and Hello magazine and many such glossy publications. How will the Irish, with much greater, of course, self-confidence of their own nowadays, how will they respond to the next coronation as a piece of liturgical and historical interest and pageantry across the water? How will they view it? It's an interesting piece of speculation. Sometimes one thinks the Anglo-Irish relationship these days, when it comes to royalty, is largely about a kind of soap opera world of glossy magazines and style and the next great piece of journalistic speculation. Well, come what may, we may look back at some of the outbursts of 1953 and the way people probably thought they had a duty to overreact to the coronation in Ireland in that year. And as we look at that, we might rather wish that at that time, in one of Queen Elizabeth's own famous phrases, things had been done differently or not at all here.